Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hi, my name's Don. It's good to be here this morning. Glad you're here. We continue our Believe series this week. The last couple weeks, we looked at some ideas like God, personal God, salvation, the Bible, and identity. And today, we're talking about church, the church. There's a key idea here this morning, and the key idea is, I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purpose on earth. I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purpose on earth. And the key verse is, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So, church today. First of all, why do we set aside time each week to do this church thing? 168 hours in a week, and we do 1 hour. Why is that? Well, if you take percentages, it's pretty low. It's probably less than 1%. But why do we do it? Look at this video, and maybe this will help you.
All right, so here we go. According to Genesis, the Lord created everything in 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested. That is, he stopped. Doesn't mean he took a nap. Means he rested from the work he had done on the previous 6 days. So he blessed that day, and he set it apart way back when everything was still perfect, right? Right. 1 day out of 7. Later, I don't know, around 2,500 years or so, way after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and sin was everywhere, Moses pops up on the scene, hikes up Mount Sinai, and receives 10 commandments from the Lord himself, written by his very finger. You saw the movie. For all you readers out there, take a peek at Exodus 20. Here begins the law, God's commandments. His design, not ours. For our benefit, not his. Now, out of all the 10 commandments, we stop today on the 4th. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And in case we might not connect it on our own, God uses the same language in the first book of the Bible that he does here in the second to connect it for us. And I paraphrase, in 6 days, not 5, not a million years, not an eon, in 6 days God did a bunch of work, making everything that we see and don't see, and he rested on the 7th day. Therefore he blessed it and made it holy. He set it apart. 1 day out of 7. So we got 10 commandments. We got 8 don'ts and 2 do's. But inside one of the do's is a don't, this 4th commandment. The do is to remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. And the way to keep it holy is the don't. Don't work. Or more accurate to its intent, put aside the normal work you do on the previous 6 days. Make this day different. 1 day out of 7. Okay. So let's leap forward about 1,500 years or so to Mark chapter 2, and you'll see that Jesus says, quite frankly, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man. Sabbath was made for the man. Huh. God blessed this day, and he set it apart. Why? For what? Well, perhaps it's a date. Maybe God is saying he just wants to spend time with us. Yeah, he created us to do all kinds of things and have friends and family and live our lives, but maybe he's saying he'd like to spend time with us too. Now, he knows we're busy. That's why he gave us 7 days. 6 days to do all the things that we have to do. And 1 day to spend with him. 1 day out of 7.
You know, there are many churches out there. In my 36 years of ministry, I've either spoke or served at a lot of different churches. I spoke at a small church. One Sunday, I spoke at a church. There were 8 people there. That was counting myself and the organist. I certainly have spoke at medium-sized churches, 100, 125 people, and served at churches where there are 2,000 members. I either spoke or served at a Baptist church, United Methodist church, even spoke one time at a Church of Christ, spoke at Presbyterian churches or non-denominational churches. But today, this is my church. Debbie and I love our church. Not a complaint. In fact, we drive 80 miles round trip to come to this church, because it's our church. We pass a lot of churches, but this is our church. We love First Church, and we are blessed being at First Church. You like changes? Because if we talk about church, we need to talk about changes. Not just in the church, because certainly in my lifetime, there's been a lot of changes. Many great changes. For most of you in this room, you have a washing machine, but you do not remember the Ringer washer machine. Anybody here willing? I'm not going to make you speak. Thank you very much. I see that hand. Okay. Oh, the hands are going up. Boy, my grandmother had a Ringer washer, and we don't want to go back to that. That's a good change. Now, some people say, a particular person in this room said, I never see you without that blue coffee cup. So I changed today. I have just a regular bottle, okay? So that's a change for those people that really bother that I always have that coffee cup. I changed. How about change TV? Long time ago, black and white TV. Who had a color TV? Huh. The very, very rich had had color TV. How about phones? Believe it or not, at one time, there were actually phones with no cords. There really was. There was phones without any cords. Or back to TV, three channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that was it. There's more than that currently. Anybody want to go back to film strips? I know, a lot of you don't know what they are, but there actually was a thing one time called a film strip. I'm glad we have a change. I'm glad we have HD video now. A lot of changes. A lot of changes. When we finally got a phone, my grandmother and I, we had a party line. Yeah, thank you. I see the heads nodding. Anybody want to go back to party lines? And because the only family that had a private line were the rich. That's it. There was nobody else. It's called CC, Comfort Cup, okay? Just bear with me, all right? It's my cup. How about record albums? Well, we go to 78, to 33, to 45, to 8-track, to cassette, to CD, to iPod. A lot of changes, a lot of changes. If we brought out pictures of you, some of you, maybe there's a picture of you 30 years ago. If we saw that picture of you right now, and what you look like now, would there be a change? You know, I told First Service, I saw a picture somebody put on Facebook last Thursday. Yes, I know what Facebook is. Throwback Thursday, they put a picture of me when I was 21 years old. Oh my gosh, I was young. And if I would have, you know, guts, I would have brought the picture and put it up here. But I know I would have gotten grief by certain people. So maybe, I don't know, maybe someday I'll get enough nerve to do that. Change. Gosh, you don't have to write checks anymore. It's online bill paying. Now, I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard there's churches that even take online giving now. You don't have to put anything in the offering plate. For some people, change is bad. They detest change. Some feel change is simply sin. The only good change is a wet diaper to a dry diaper. That's it. Well, we're talking about church today, so there are many changes in church also. One time, believe it or not, all we had for visual aids was flannel graph. That's all we had, flannel graph. At one time, all we had was hymnals. Not that they're wrong, but that's all we had. One time, all we had was King James Version of the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. We now have a change, probably have two dozen versions and translations out there. We change worship format at First Church. The 8:30 service, there's a change to second service and third service in the worship. Not one is right, one is wrong, but we do change. Methods of teaching, methods of worship have changed. You need to hear the following point. This is very important. Methods of teaching, methods of worship have changed. The message does not change. The message is Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and all of tomorrow's. The message does not change. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, what shall men say? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Christ died once and for all sins. For God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. If we believe in him, we'll never die. We'll be with him forever. God's word, the Bible, does not change. In Isaiah 48, we read that grass withers, flowers fade, but God's word stands firm. God's word stands forever. The church needs to be culturally relevant. Again, not what we teach, but how we present Jesus to each generation. We do not compromise biblical truth, but change is important. We need flexibility in our approach to ministry. I will guarantee you, if Angela and Mike did youth ministry today like I did in 1978, they would have zero students. We've changed. The message that they tell the kids is the same message I told the kids. But the format is different. Very different. There was a pastor that went into a hospital and saw one of his members, and he was walking out of the hospital, and he happened to look in a room and saw a man laying there by himself. So he decided, you know what, I'm just going to go in. God said to go in that room, so he went in that room, and he learned very quickly that the man spoke absolutely no English, but he decided, you know what, I'm going to pray anyway. So he started to pray, and the man started moaning and saying four words in a different language over and over again. The nurses came in, this man was screaming, moaning, and the man died. And the family came, and the pastor stayed. And the pastor said, I'm so sorry, but he just kept saying these four words. And he said what they were in broken English, what they were. And the family said, that says you're standing on my oxygen tube. You see, maybe, just maybe, we suck the life out of ministry. The ministry that God desires for us. The ministry that God has called us to. When we refuse to change. If we're simply stuck in the old ways. Don't forget what the Bible says. You see, in the Bible we see words like this. Talk about change. In the Bible, we see words like new song, new wine, new life, new creation, new man, and new covenant. Let's look at the book of Ephesians, the first six verses out of Ephesians chapter 4. And what does it have to do with the church? As a prisoner, this is God's holy word. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See, that's church right there. That's church. Loving one another, certainly with humility, mending fences, not creating fences. We are called very clearly to be one. Do not forget, we serve one God. We have one faith. We have one Jesus. Let us join together and be one. Further on in chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting in verse 11, hear God's word. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That ends the reading of God's holy word. We have different jobs in the church, those words tell us. We all can't be in the band. We all can't be in the sound room. We all can't be all van drivers or ushers or teachers. However, working together as a living church, we can accomplish God's purpose for First Church. But it will not happen if we're all about arguing. It will not happen if we're all about fighting like babies. Rather, we need to be Christ representatives in our church and certainly in our world. Hear words from the book of Matthew. Hear God's word. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This ends the reading of God's word. Let us be that church, a church filled not with complaining, a church not filled with arguing, but a church filled with energy to serve his purpose, to fill his purpose. An energy that is contagious. This can be our church if we know the solid rock I stand and all other ground is sinking sand. Satan will not, cannot ever destroy the church. The church is important to me. The church is important to you. When I was young, I had no choice. My grandmother did not send me to church. She took me to church every Sunday. Today, I have a choice, and that's for me and my family. We will serve the Lord. God's plan, you see, God's plan was always community. Back in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. That does not refer simply to marriage. It refers to community. That's what that applies to. And I'm not talking about perfect attendance. I miss some Sundays also. We're not talking perfect attendance, but we're talking about being in church, being part of church. A couple weeks ago, I had the cold that's going around. Guess nobody here knows anything about that, do they? Thank you. I heard that cough. Right on cue. I had it. Thank you. Anybody else? You cough right now. You don't want to cough unless there's a lot of noise, so you cough now. Thank you. So anyway, I had it, and I had it over Debbie's birthday, and I had made arrangements to take her out for dinner for her birthday in Harrisburg, and she didn't know this, but I invited my three daughters who live all around, and they all met us there, my three girls, and they surprised Debbie, and it was great. We had a great dinner, great food. I tasted absolutely nothing in the food, but I was there. And so we got home. It was Saturday night. We got home about 10 o'clock, and I got a text from John. There's a change. Texting, okay? One of my pet peeves. So much miscommunication, but it's good for my business, so keep on texting. Anyway, John texts me, and he knew that I tell John very little about surprises because he has, I'm not saying a word, I'll tell him I never said that if he asks. He's got a big mouth sometimes. Anyway, he texted me and said he knew about the dinner, and he said, how was dinner? And I said, great. And he knew I had a cold. He said, how's the cold? And I said, terrible. And he texted back and said, I do not want to see you tomorrow. I'll see you Tuesday because I have my office hours here Tuesday and Thursday. So, man, I got off the phone, and I said to Debbie, I said, man, John told me not to come. He gave me the day off. Great. And Debbie said, it's great. So, next day, Sunday afternoon, Debbie said, I need to tell you something. All you women already know what I'm going to say. She called John and said, this man is sick. He will not listen to me. He'll listen to you texting. I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. That's what it is. The church needs you. Our church needs you. Our church wants you. Right now, this very moment, I am a mind reader, and there's someone in this room right now saying, church doesn't need me. That was my southern accent, by the way. You're the exact person I'm talking to. Again, Jesus choosing his disciples. We would not have chosen those people. And he chose some fishermen and some tax collectors who probably cheated people in the past, and that's who he chose. You see, without you, hindrance is created. Imagine a train with absolutely no track. Imagine a car with no wheels. Yes, there are people who feel the church is not doing what Christ desires. Yes, they feel they are too busy. They feel the church is too strict, too religious, too liberal. Or they feel unworthy. Maybe they never got involved because they do not understand this relationship with Jesus. Maybe they were in church and were hurt by someone's actions or someone's words, and there was a misunderstanding. That person we need to reach out to. If you know that person, need to reach out to them. The church needs to be mobile. The church needs to be filled with compassion. Going out in the world, bringing people into the church, to Jesus, to accomplish his purpose on earth. Showing God's love, sharing God's love, demonstrating God's love, not for our glory, but for God's glory. Remember, I mentioned this before in a previous sermon, you are the only person. You are the only Bible that some people will ever read. What are they reading when they see you? We need to make an impact. We need to be caring people. We need to be loving people. We need to care and love for others. I am now back to mind reading. And there's someone right now thinking, I know so-and-so in our church. That's a sinner. And he keeps on doing the same thing over and over again. And he goes to church all the time. Question for you. How often have you honestly prayed for that person? Not gossiped about him or her. How often have you prayed for that person? That's what we need to be about. That's God's purpose, to be praying for people. Maybe, just maybe, we need to stop pointing fingers. Maybe, just maybe, we need to stop pointing fingers and put our energy into loving one another. The church is God's primary way to accomplish his purpose. Not our purpose, his purpose. I have a very important short video to show you. I want you to listen very carefully. It applies to all of us.
What's in a chair? Here's one. Here's a lot of them. Now try for a minute to dismiss the idea that what you're looking at are chairs in some faraway place. Imagine for a minute these are the chairs in your church, the ones right next to you, in front of you, behind you. Now remember, if you will, the businessman who wandered in that Sunday and sat right here. He heard the message of hope for the first time in his life. Do you remember where you were? Remember the young lady who was in this chair? The one who was crying because she lost her parents and took everything she had to walk in the doors. Her faith moved everybody. What about the angry man who sat back here on Easter Sunday and by the end was in tears because he realized for the very first time what Jesus actually did for him? There was the older couple who walked in late because their car broke down and sat right here, only to find the person they sat next to was a mechanic. There's the girl in L19 who only feels safe when she's here, the older gentleman in B14 who is searching for something, the married couple in R14 and 15 who are about to sign the divorce papers but decided to work it out because of the couple they saw on Q9 and 10, the man in F9 who just needed to be reminded that God loves him. There's your friend in Y14 who's shackled by addiction but learned that day who can actually set him free. Oh yeah. What about the apathetic teenager in G22 who doesn't even realize he has a friend in H19 who prays for him every single day? Right next to him in H29, there's the single mom just waiting to hear hopeful words from someone she trusts. Might be the guy in J44 who just loves to sing because he's overwhelmed with joy and words alone aren't enough. I could go on and on. But you know what? All this makes me wonder what the world would be like if these chairs weren't here. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? So I ask you again, what's in a chair? Well, you are. The church.
Maybe someone here this morning saw themselves in that video. Maybe there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We talked a lot about change this morning. This is a major change if you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. Major change in your life. But it's a fantastic change that will change your life, not just for this world, but for eternity. If you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, today's a fantastic day to do just that. To come to Christ. Will it be hard to do? Yeah. It will be. Because there are things you want to do that you should not do anymore. But the good news is here. I don't care what you've done in the past, and much, much, much more importantly, Jesus doesn't care what you've done in the past. He already knows it anyway. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And you're the crown of creation. and you're created by him. And he knows you better than you know yourself. Today's a good day to make a change, to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would love to talk to you if you want to make that commitment, or call me, or call John, or call one of the elders. But make the change. Today's a great day to make a change. The church is God's way to fill his purpose in this world we live in. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for loving us first. Thank you, God, for the fact that you care so much about us, and that you were willing to send your son, who went to the cross willingly, for one reason and one reason only. Oh, how he loves us. Father, we know you care for us. We know you care for that person that's seated in H29 or G10. We know there's people here that feel there is no hope, because everything's going wrong in their life. But we know, God, that you care. Help us, God, to be the caring church, to be there for these people. And as always, we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, Christ.com.